property, but it's a pretty steep backyard. You do have to be careful kind of where you're walking, or you can easily fall or sprain your ankle. But he also had a spider bite, and he has kind of swollen under his chin and starting to kind of go down his neck. He's a little bit of a fever, and he's sore, and he's not feeling very good. So if you would, please, please remember Mr. Russell in your prayers today. Ask God to intervene and heal him of this and remove any pain and suffering that he may have. I can speak personally. Spider bites are no fun. I had one, and it was a very bad one, and it took several weeks for it to go away. And finally had to go to the doctor, actually, and get the thing lanced and drained and all kinds of stuff. It was pretty bad. So I can have empathy for him, so please do remember him in your prayers. They said they did have a very nice Thanksgiving, and his daughter and son-in-law been there and still sightseeing, and also helping him with the burning the leaves. So y'all have a great time out there. I know you got a lot of trees and a lot of leaves. I don't really have any other announcements other than that I had a very nice Thanksgiving as well with some very close friends, and it was a very enjoyable time indeed, and I hope you had one as well. Well, brethren, that does bring us up to the sermon, and today to bring us that sermon from Puerto Rico is our Mr. Martin Martinez.
Thank you, Mr. Fleming. Hello, brethren, and a very happy Sabbath to you all. We are indeed living on the last days, as explained in our Bibles, time and time again. We are all our sons and daughters, the generation to see our Lord return in glory and power to make the whole earth holy again. But we know, because our Bibles say so, that he will not do this behind our backs, but will tell us, call out Christians first. The latest events worldwide are more proof of this. Earthquakes are rising, more hurricanes, more fires, flooding, and others like it are front and center in the minds of the people in the USA and other countries as well. But while we are here in America, are captivated for these kinds of events, they do happen over and over again across our world. They are, by the way, an indication of a larger problem. Normally, non-call-out Christians interpret these kind of events differently than what the Bible teaches. Some people see them as God's judgment on our country, but they can not all agree on it, on why God is judging us. Some people say that we are not part of God's plan. Some other people see them merely as natural disasters, accidental happenings that have nothing to do with God. Brethren, there is a great deal of confusion and national anxiety, if you will, over what to do with all this mess that has taken place and is taking place. The one thing we can conclude is that there is something terribly wrong with us here in America. The Bible has a place where we can learn more about what is happening to us, and that is taking a look at the prophet Amos. And he has a word that reinforces this conclusion and gave us a deeper understanding of the problems that we face today. We can see that the message of Amos came at a time when the kingdom of Israel was divided. I'm going to give you a couple of seconds so you can get to the book of Amos. We will be reading from chapter 1, verse 1. Amos 1 and verse 1 says, "The words of Amos, one of the shepherds of Tekoa, what he saw concerning Israel 2 years before the earthquake, when Uzziah was king of Judah and Jeroboam, son of Joshua, was king of Israel." By the way, Amos was not an expert main voice for God, because he was before this calling by God just a farmer, a shepherd. But he was called out of his work, daily work in Judah, and sent to the neighboring Israel to speak God's truth. God has been at work to liberate and rescue mankind, and he has called out Israel as a people for himself, in order to show through them that there was a different way to live to all mankind. But Israel has continually drawn farther and farther away from God and the things that they were important to him. Reading now, verse 2 of Amos chapter 1, he said, "The Lord roars from Zion and thunders from Jerusalem. The pastures of the shepherds dry up, and the top of camel withers. There is a word of judgment coming," God says. He says, "The lion is roaring. Things are not as they ought to be. And God is sending his new appointed prophet, Amos, to speak about that to Israel." The opening prophecy that we will read and study today will first place us in touch with an incredible, deep-seated problem that leads into all human race. None of us is exempt. Amos will deliver a series of oracles, the first of which is itself a series of eight judgments on respective countries. There are a number of groups of seven in this book of Amos, beginning in verse 3, Amos begins to build a case, if you will, pinpointing a problem that exists in the nation of Israel, related to the problem that exists in the whole world. He provides a view of the horror of life without God in these words of judgment against the nations that surrounded Israel. Now let's read a view of life without God. Reading now verses 3 to 8 of Amos chapter 1. He says in verse 3, "This is what the Lord says. For three things of Damascus, even for four, I will not turn my wrath, because she threshed Gilead with the flesh, having iron teeth. I will send fire upon the house of Hazel that will consume the fortress of Ben-Hadad. I will break down the gates of Damascus. I will destroy the king who is in the valley of Aden, and the one who holds the scepter is Beth-Edin. The people of Aram will go into exile to kill, says the Lord. This is what the Lord says. For 3 sins of Gaza, even for 4, I will not turn back my wrath, because she took captive all communities and sold them to Edom. I will send fire upon the walls of Gaza that will consume her fortresses. I will destroy the king of Ashdod and the one who holds the scepter in Ashkelon. I will turn my hand against Ekron till the last of the Philistines is dead, says the sovereign Lord. Heavy judgments. Brethren, these judgments come in pairs, and the first pair sets the stage for us to see the horror of what these nations are doing. Beginning with Damascus, the capital city of Syria, which was located to the north and east of Israel, Amos lays out a picture of a country that is hungry to the Spanish borders and its economy at the expense of other countries. As we read before, she dressed Gilead with flesh having iron teeth. This is a picture of absolute destruction. The nation of Syria, in an effort to grab a little bit more land for itself, totally lay waste to a neighbor people. Because of that, the judgment of God is coming to them. Gaza or Pristina, the second of this opening pair, is said to have taken whole communities of people captive and sold them into slavery to Edom, probably in an economic and political alliance between them. God says, judgment is held in their way also. Now, let's read further down verses 9 through 12 of Amos chapter 1. He says, this is what the Lord says, for 3 sins of Tyre, even for 4, I will not turn back my wrath, because she sold whole communities of captives to Edom, disregarding a treaty of brotherhood. I will send fire upon the walls of Tyre that will consume her fortresses. This is what the Lord says. For 3 sins of Edom, even 4, I will not turn my wrath, but my wrath, because he pursued his brother with a sword, stiffing all compassion, because his anger raged continually, and his fury flamed unchecked. I will send fire upon Timon that will consume the fortresses of Bozrah. Brethren, the city of Tyre was the capital city of Phoenicia, and the Phoenicians too were guilty of taking whole communities of people and selling them to Edom. The Edomites themselves are said to have been people of anger and rage, and they were the procurers of human slaves. But in this second pair of judgment, another idea is introduced: the violation of brotherhood. Both the Phoenicians and the Edomites were guilty of this. Not even the bond of a shared bloodline, a sense of family, could trump the rage of greed, the lust for power, and the accumulation of wealth and prestige and security at the cost of others' lives. Once again, God's judgment is going to fall on them. Now we're going to read about a third pair of judgments that follows. And we find it in verse 13 up to chapter 2, verse 3. And this is what it says: for three streets of Ammon, even for four, I will not turn back my wrath, because he ripped open the pregnant woman of Gilead in order to extend his borders. I will set fire to the works of Rabbah that will consume her fortresses, and make nor cries on the day of battle, and make violent winds on a stormy day. Her king will go into exile, and he and his officials together, says the Lord. This is what the Lord says: for three sins of Moab, even for four, I will not turn back my wrath, because he burned as if to blind the bones of Edom's king. I will send fire upon Moab that will consume the fortresses of Kiriath. Moab will go down in great tumult, amid your cries and the blast of the trumpet. I will destroy her ruler and kill all her officials with him, says the Lord. Indeed, this is a new, of even more bizarre, grasping, disturbing displays of greed and power and lust, brethren. This nation had a total disregard for human life for the sake of economic and political gain. Also, the Moabites were guilty of burning the bones of Edom's king. From what we can see, there was a lot of animosity between these two nations. Once again, the judgment of God is pronounced on this country and its leadership. That brings us to the seven judgments. And as we can see, no nation is poor here. Now in chapter 2 of Amos, reading verses 4 and 5, he says, this is what the Lord says: for three sins of Judah, even for four, I will not turn back my wrath, because they have rejected the law of the Lord. I have not kept his decree, because they have been led astray by false gods. The gods their ancestors followed. I will send fire upon Judah that will consume the fortresses of Jerusalem. Brethren, now our loving God turns his attention to Judah, the other part of the divided kingdom, which is centered in Jerusalem. Now let's become aware here than the way God describes Judah has shifted. I don't know if you noticed. He does not detail any atrocities than they have committed, but focuses on the rejection of the law of God to follow false God all lives. God tried to raise them up as a people to speak the truth of his glory and greatness among all nations. But Judah fell into a trap, neglected the law and God, and was sucked into the teachings of false God in the nations surrounding them. What Amos, as a great holy man, has done in this oracle is draw a cycle around a target. The seven nations that he is identifying here, they all surround Israel. Amos is trying to get the attention of the nation Israel. They are happy to hear that God will deal with their evil. Talking about all nations. God, you are right. Those Edomites are evil. Those Phoenicians are awful, and so on. His listeners see the man being drawn, the cycle finishing with Judah, their brothers who, by the way, are now their enemies, and you can just hear them saying, amen to that, amen to that. To every single one of them. With the seven judgments, our prophet Amos finished the point of the wickedness of all these nations. Brethren, what Amos has done for Israel and for us today is describe what life without God looks like. Even deepening cycles of evil, lust for power, a me versus them attitude, and a set of one's own safety and comfort at the expense of others. Prophets are sent by God to speak the truth to the nations of Israel and Judah at a time of indifference towards God and great calamity. Declare that life without God is evil and destructive, and that it always descends deeper and deeper into sinful or destructive behavior. And, by the way, this topic is recorded throughout Scripture. Is we just keeping where you are, you could put in your notes, is turn to Psalms 1, verse 1. The psalmist writes, and we all know this verse by heart, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. Brethren, let's notice the development so far. When people begin to live without God and listen to the voices of those who are evil, it starts them on a path that takes them farther and farther away from our Father. So, eventually, they are living the way sinners live. And then, finally, they are sitting in a seat of scoffers who defy God. In the New Testament, equivalent to the message of the opening prophecy of Amos is Romans chapter 1. Therefore, describe the downward spirit of peoples and societies who choose to live without God. Brethren, please put attention to these words. Let's go to Romans chapter 1, verses 28 to 32. He says, furthermore, since they did nothing, is worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, he gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slander, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They are senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Although they know God's righteous decree, then those who do such things deserve death. They not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them. Paul says the same things that Amos does. Life without God is destructive. How can we bring this home to where we live here in USA? How can we take in the tragedy of sinfulness and its destruction? We all know that we as human beings were created in the image of God. We were created to have fellowship with God. The only person who can name us, who understands who we are, and who gives us a sense of worth and a place, is the God who created us and who invites us into a relationship with himself. But what happens on that fateful day when we choose to rebel against what God was? That this very relationship with God was taken away. So that can explain all the evil in this world, brethren. That painful hole in our heart that only God can fill, we try to fill it with pressure and achievement. This, brethren, is life without God. The horrors that are described in Amos that turn our stomachs, that is life without God. And you and I see it every day, if we are honest. It wasn't something that was happening back then. It's happened today even worse in our own country. The negative effects and pain and power of sin are all around us. A careful reading of Amos, and I recommend you can read the whole book, is going to enlarge our sense of what unrighteousness looks like in a nation and even in call-out people of God. The single greatest issue for the call-out people of God is how they treat the hurting people of their society. You and I have to be willing to face the overwhelming, powerful, devastating effect of sin in our own hearts, in our country, and in our world. It is tragic, very bad, and terrible. Sin is killing and will continue to closing, brethren, we have to be heartbroken by the way sin is taking over people and whole countries' lives. Our world is broken, and we must remember that there is no hope apart from the God who created us and named us and gave us our sense of who we are. It is glorious and breathtaking that in our Lord Jesus Christ, God is rescuing His chosen people. But if we are not fully broken by the absolute calamity, the awful tragedy of sin, guess what? We will continue to ignore our sin again. Amos, in his efforts to draw the attention of the people of God to their own role in this, paints a picture of a world without God that is sick, decaying, dying, and very destructive. That, by the way, is the world we live in today. Things are not getting better. There are more people sinning more and more every day. Thus is the world in which the power of the transforming gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ alone is adequate, and a relationship with God through Jesus Christ alone is possible only through the mercy of our Father. As Amos did, we also need to be heartbroken by the negative effects of sin. You might be asking, why this sermon today? Because if we continue to reject our brother Israel, talking about the Israel as we know it today, as we have done in the past many times, this nation, our Lord says that judgment is headed our way also. We pray that will never happen. We know and also need to remember that God will punish a nation, not because they interact with Israel directly or indirectly, but because they do evil in His eyes. Never forget that. That is the sermon. Again, a very happy Sabbath to you all. Bye now.